We're going to talk today about moving life forward. That's our theme, is moving life forward. That's where we're headed for this year, for 2021. And we're here to move life forward after a big year last year, after everything that happened in our pandemic and the setback that was. Everyone say setback. Setback. You ever had a setback? You ever had a setback? Setbacks happen occasionally in life. Sometimes they happen more often than they really should. Setbacks come in all kinds of ways. They come sometimes with bad news. You get a setback. Sometimes it might be something that's happened or happening that is a setback. It could be a report from your doctor or your dentist, your cardiologist, whoever it might be, and there's a setback that's announced to you. It might be a plan that hasn't worked out. It could be a pathway that's changed. It could be a promise that's seemingly too distant to achieve. There's all kinds of setbacks, and certainly as a world, we had setbacks last year, and we're kind of living right now in a posture of recovery in terms of the setback that happened. And so today I want to talk about turning your setbacks into a comeback. So for 2021, our theme is moving life forward. There's only one direction we want to go, and that's into the future. That's where we're going, into the future. Whatever's been has been. The past is the past. We're living in the now, and we're facing forward. That's what we talked about last week, the habit of facing forward. Make sure you're facing the right direction. Turn to your neighbor and say, face it. Face it. Make sure you're facing in the right direction and you're facing forward in terms of life. So I'm kind of making some bold proclamations over this month being our vision month about where we're headed as a group of people, as a church, as a family, and as individuals, where we want to head and how we want to posture ourselves. And that, of course, is that we want to face forward. We're going to have a habit of facing forward. So no matter the stage of your journey, no matter where you're at, no matter where things are up to for you, that you would have a habit of facing the right direction in life. Can I encourage you just to keep saying yes to Jesus? Yeah. Just keep saying yes to Jesus. You know, the whole journey of following God started by saying yes to Jesus, and just keep saying yes to Jesus. Keep taking your next steps in terms of the journey. You know, when you're a baby, everyone applauds you for your first step. You know, that wobbly old first step that you took in life. Everyone applauded you for that. And they looked diligently forward to the next step that you would take. And it's kind of how you've got to keep living life. No matter how long you've been journeying, just to keep taking your next step in life. Don't ever allow yourself to get stuck. You know, it's easy to look at successful people, or whatever that is, however you label that, however you identify successful people. It's easy to look at successful people and think that they've had a pathway or a journey of no barriers, of no hardship, of no setbacks in their life, as opposed to you and I, where our journey could have been full of setbacks in life. And I think what we tend to do is we tend to underestimate the setbacks that others have had and over-exaggerate the setbacks that we have. We give more energy to it. We give more power to it. We give more authority to it than we really should. So I'm here today to authorize you. Who wants to be authorized today? I'm here today to authorize you, to authorize your past and your setback to be where it should be, and to determine, I'm going to face forward. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to keep taking my next steps in following God. And so the big difference for all of us in terms of how we handle setbacks is how we move forward after we have a setback. And particularly like 2020, what do we do? I'm certain the government's asking that at a federal level, at a state level, right across our states and territories. They're asking that question. How do we move forward? What do we do for business? What do we do for families? What do we do for students? What do we do for the elderly? What do we do for the unemployed? What do we do for people to help them move their lives forward in this new year? I think the difference between people that do the journey well and people that really struggle after a setback is how we respond to it in terms of what we empower, And a little key here, we often empower and give energy to the thing we talk about the most. We empower and give energy, or we create drama around the thing that we escalate in our mouth, because the Bible says out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so just watch what you're speaking about all the time. It's okay to speak about it, but to make it the focus and the intention and the drive of your conversation causes it to escalate and have more power than it really should in your world. So we need to look at whether we're going to talk up the drama or talk up our destiny. Talk up our drama or talk up our destiny as to whether we empower the setback or empower the destiny. I've got several big thoughts. Hopefully they're good thoughts for us today around this theme. My first one is this, is I want you today to learn to be confident that God is working in your setback for your good. God is working in your setback for your good. You know, there's a lot of bad things that happen to good people, but it doesn't need to be the end. A lot of bad things that happen to good people, but it doesn't need to be the end. The biblical fact and the eternal fact is that we have a good God who's always working for our good. So when bad things happen, God intervenes to turn it around for our good. Romans 8, Paul says in Romans 8, 28, and we know, this, you have to know this. Paul says, we know, I hope you know this, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. That means in every problem, in every pandemic, in every circumstance or situation that comes our way, that enters our space or our zone, every difficulty, every darkness, every challenge that we face, no matter how dark and awkward and difficult it is, our God is working for our good. Is that good news today? Come on, God's working for our good. I believe that. I believe that. And you know, at times it does get dark. And at times it does get difficult. And at times it does get discouraging. And at times it does get depressive when things happen, when news comes, when circumstances implode or explode, when the unexpected arrives in the mail, when it knocks on your door, when it comes in an email. When it happens, it's difficult and it's challenging and it's off-putting, but I want you to know that when it comes, God comes with the bad news. God comes with good news. In the Bible, there's a man called Joseph. He's one of my favorite characters, and he's one of my faves because his life was full of such challenge. And I love to read stories either in the Bible or in life of people that have come through such trouble and such turmoil and such terrible, debilitating circumstances, and they've rebounded. They bounced back because we all need the lessons of how to bounce back in life. He was the youngest of 12 brothers. We could stop the story there and we'd all understand, wouldn't we? He was the youngest of 12 brothers. So he had 12 big bros that he grew up with, and you know all the challenge that comes with that of living in a large family, and you're the small one, you're the young one, you're the runt of the family, you're the last of the litter, and sometimes people think that makes you the popular one, and it certainly does sometimes. But for Joseph, it also came surrounded with a lot of challenge and a lot of difficulty, because the brothers were jealous of him. They were jealous of him, and they were jealous of certainly the destiny that God had placed upon this young brother of theirs when he started to dream of his God journey and his God possibilities in life. And God spoke to him a dream about how he'd be raised up to be a great leader. He was excited about that dream, but when he told his family, they weren't quite as excited. And certainly the brothers weren't quite as excited with the thought of one day Joseph being a great king and they would come and bow down before him. That was the dream. And Joseph grew up in his family environment where there was a lot of jealousy and a lot of envy. And so what his brothers did was they decided one day they're going to deal with his dreamer. And so they took him on a little trip in their caravan and went down the road, and they beat him up like all good brothers do. They beat him up and then they threw him in the pit. And in that pit they devised a plan that they would sell him. And so they sold him to some slave traders who took him to a foreign land called Egypt. And he finds himself as a young man in a foreign country with people he doesn't know, food he doesn't know, culture he doesn't know, separated from family, separated from the dream, separated from hope, everything going wrong. I mean, this is a major setback. And he finds himself put in the home of a man called Potiphar. And it was all going pretty cruisy. It was all pretty good for a little while in Potiphar's home until Mrs. Potiphar noticed that Joseph was handsome and Joseph was intelligent and Joseph was attractive. And she got a little bit too friendly with Joseph and then accused Joseph of being inappropriate towards her. And Joseph, the Bible says, ended up in prison for 12 years. Now imagine how you would feel if you were Joe. Imagine how you would feel. Your brothers hate you. They've beaten you up. They've sold you, literally, as a slave. You're taken to this foreign land. You end up working for this guy called Potiphar. His wife fancies you. You get blamed, and you end up in prison for 12 years. There's no doubt there's a lot of heartache in this young man's heart. There's no doubt there's a lot of pain in his heart. There's a lot of sleepless nights. There's a lot of big questions that are resonating in his mind. But you know, the reality is God took this young man while he was in this prison and God began to speak to him again. And God began to birth a dream in his heart again. And people around him began to resonate with the dream that was being birthed in Joseph again. They began to identify something else that was attractive in him. And it was destiny. And it was hope. And it was purpose. And it was vision. And it was leadership. And it was wisdom. And they were attracted to him. And they saw how much God began to favor him in this prison. And God began to open doors. You know, eventually the Bible says that Joseph was favored so much that he became the prime minister in the land. He became the second most important authority figure in all the land, overseeing the nation of Egypt. And yet he had so many heartaches, so much pain, so much loss. And yet this amazing comeback after this terrible setback. And it was in this moment of leadership where Joseph one day is serving as the prime minister of the nation that his brothers came to Egypt because famine had hit the land. And they came to Egypt searching for food, and they came with a plan to beg for food from Pharaoh and from the prime minister. Now, they didn't know Joseph, their brother, was still alive. They thought they'd got rid of him. They didn't know what happened to him. They'd never heard from him. And so here they are standing in front of Joseph, their brother, and he's the prime minister, and they are the beggars now bowing down to him like the first dream spoke about. Here it is in fulfillment, and yet they don't know who they're standing in front of. And here they are, and Joseph now has the whole dream just coming true right in front of his very eyes. Here's my thought. If you stick with it long enough, you're going to see the dream come true right in front of your very eyes. The thing that seems so far off, so unachievable, so unimaginable, so undeserved, that promise, that destiny, that hope, that message that God has given you, if you will stick through your setback and not stay stuck in the setback, but go through the setback, you will get to a comeback where literally you can see the plan and the purpose of God unfold before your eyes. So here's Joseph. He's standing there. The brothers are bowing. And he's not letting on who he is. He knows who they are. And he's happy to let them squirm. He's happy just to let them beg. He's happy to let them tremble in the presence of such a powerful authority leader and figure in the land of Egypt. And he puts them through the ringer a bit and asks them a few questions about their family, which they probably thought is a little unusual, because here's this leader of Egypt asking about certain members of our family and how our father is and how our younger brother is, and asking these questions. And then Joseph declares these words in Genesis 50:20. He says this to them: "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." You intended, just let these words sink in, church. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. You know, the intention that matters is the intention of God, not the intention of others. You can't control the intention of others, but you can know the intention of God. The intention of God is always to bring you good, no matter how bad, dark, ugly, or difficult, or awkward, or challenging it may be. God's intention is to do good for you. So he said to the brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. And he has brought me to this position so that I could save the lives of many people." You know, there's no setback in life that happens where God's not working for our good. There is no setback that happens in life. And I'm telling you that now, while you may not be in a moment of setback. Some of you may be thinking today, "Well, I'm not in setback." Well, I'm giving you a preview today. I'm giving you a glimpse and a window into your future. There is no setback that will happen in your life that God is not working for your good. God turns it around and is turning around situations even when you don't see it, even when you can't feel it, even when you don't know it or understand it, perceive it. God is in the business of turning it around. It might not feel good, it might not look good, it might not be good, but be confident that God's intention is to do good. That's what God does. You know, Joseph knew that, and I pray you know it, because you're going to have to know it, because when you know it, it'll hold you in the storm. It'll hold you in the news. It'll hold you in the moment and the challenge and the difficulty, that no matter how bad it is, God's going to do something good out of this. God's going to bring something good out of this seed. Secondly, we need to be willing to go backwards to move forward. You know, you've got reverse in a car for a good reason. Sometimes you've got to use reverse to go forward. Sometimes you've got to move back and take a step back so that you can get the lie of the land for what your next move might be. Don't ever be worried about taking an apparent step back. Don't worry about how other people perceive it, how family perceive it, how your own mind even perceives it. Trust God's intention for you. Sometimes you've got to take a step back so that you can go forward and get on the right pathway of where God wants you to go. We see this very clearly in the life of Joseph and in the story of Joseph. I want to keep reading some of these verses in Genesis 39. It says this: when Joseph's master heard the story that his wife told him, that's Mrs. Potiphar, saying, "This is how your slave treated me," and he burned with anger. So she was blaming Joseph for acting inappropriately towards her, but it was her that had actually acted inappropriately towards him. So Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in prison, while he's in prison, the Lord was with him, and he showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. And so the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done in prison. And the warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. I love the fact that God gave Joseph favor with the chief jailer, with the warden, and prospered Joseph even while he was in prison. You know, it doesn't matter where you are, God's will can find you, his purpose can find you, his goodness can find you, his favor can find you, and others will notice it on you, even though you might be in a prison of life. Even though you might be, a prison for me represents limitation. It represents someone else controlling your world. It represents a boundary. It represents that far and no further in life. And you might find yourself in some sort of prison today. But I want you to know the prison can't hold you when God's intention is to do you good. God's intention is to do you good. But for Joseph, he had to go back before he went forward. He had to go down before he went up. You know, the truth is you can be prospering even when it doesn't look like you're prospering. You're prospering even when you don't look like you're prospering in life. Even when you don't feel like it, it's happening. Even when it doesn't look like it, it's happening. Even when you can't see it, God is actually still working on it. So whatever your circumstance is today, God's there. There might be walls around you. There might be bars surrounding you. There might be people controlling it or you. But God is in the midst of it, and God is with you, and God is for you. You know, the truth is sometimes the only way forward is back. The only way forward sometimes is back. And there are times in life when you can't go forward from where you are. You have to go back. Now, you may not want to go back, but you may have to go back. For instance, you might have to go back to study to go forward in your career. No one likes going back to study because we think we'd finish with study when we were like 17 years of age. And, you know, we've done school and, you know, you're headed into university and you think that's it. But life has many, many variances to it. And you might find yourself midlife needing to go back to study. There's no shame in going back to study. There's no shame in taking a step back so that you can take a step forward. You can only be propelled if you get in the right position. So you might need sometimes just to take a little bit of a step back is what others might perceive it as, but it's actually going to end up to be a step forward. You might have to take a posture of accepting less now so that you can have more of something in the future. You might have to do that if you want to move life forward. You may need to unlearn some things you've learned if you're going to move forward. How many people have had to unlearn some things in their lifetime? Come on, I have spent my lifetime unlearning things. I've spent my life also learning new things. And particularly in the last 2-3 years, and particularly after this pandemic, having to relearn so many things about the way we need to do things now because our world has changed. I think one of the great strengths of any human being that wants to move life forward is the ability to be fluid and the ability to be flexible and the ability to be positive even when it's really dark and challenging and difficult. You may have to go back and learn about money to make some money, because if God gave you money now, you'd lose the money, because there's work that needs to be done in your soul, in your thinking. There's education that needs to happen in your mind to teach you how to be better manager of the resources that God is giving you. And even if you had a lucky flow and you had some money come from somewhere, you'd reduce it to the level of your thinking and the level of your education and the level of your soul, because you don't have the ability to manage that yet. Maybe for some, you might have to go and get some experience and expertise in that area. You may need to take a step back to deal with some hurts. You may need to do that to allow your heart to heal. It's not a bad thing to take a step back. We all need to step back occasionally. Step back. I've got a song going on in my head right now. Step back. What are the words? To where you once belong. Step back. Just take a step back so that you can go forward. Don't ever judge anybody for taking a step back. Because they might be positioning themselves to go forward. You may look at it and judge it and think, why are they doing that? They're doing that to position themselves to take a better route for the future. The truth is, often forward begins with backwards. Often forward begins with backwards. So it may actually feel and look and sound like a backward move, but it's actually forward. It's like in gardening. I don't really understand gardening. I'm not a gardener. I'm not a green thumb. I mow the lawn. I kill weeds. Actually, I kill everything. I spray Roundup on everything. And so I kill weeds and I mow the lawn. I'm really good at that. If you come to my place, the lawn is nice, even though we live on acreage. And I like to have a nice lawn. But I don't understand about plants and shrubs and all of that, that you've got to give them a really good haircut, a really good clip, and to shape them and have them grow in volume. And it just seems wrong
to cut off all that growth. I mean, it's starting to, like, we've got lily pillies that we've planted, and they're growing quite rapidly because of the humidity and the heat and the quality water that we put on them. And they're growing rapidly at the moment. They're thickening up and they're bushing up. And Cheryl gets out there and cuts them off at the top and down the sides and at the front and at the back. And I look at it and go, why are you doing that? He says, they're just starting to grow up. And she's trying to educate me that you've got to trim them so they grow out, so they develop, so they blossom, so they flourish. Pruning is good for you. Pruning is good for you. You know, the Bible says God's a gardener. He's a gardener, and he prunes. He prunes for our good. He prunes so we can flourish. And sometimes he might take us on a journey where we apparently take a step back. But that step back is so that we can grow. That step back is so that we can take a better route. That step back is so that we can heal. That step back is so that we can deal with brokenness. That step back is so that we can be propelled into the future and the destiny that we have, that God has called us for. So always have faith that you're set in your setback, that you are not being held back. Don't see a setback as something that is holding you back. It's a moment that happens every now and then in life, but it's not something that is holding you back. Setbacks often feel like that. They often feel like a restraint. They often feel like a hindrance or a restriction or a limitation. Often a setback looks like the end. It looks like the end because things have changed. Things have trimmed. Shape has altered. And it looks wrong. It just looks wrong. It's like when you give a poodle a haircut. It just looks wrong, but it's actually good to reshape it and redesign what it looks like. So setbacks are actually part of our life. They're part of the journey in a broken world. We live in a broken world. And as believers, I think sometimes we forget that brokenness is all around us and we're all affected by brokenness. We're all affected by the brokenness of other people and the things that people do and the things that people say and the things that happen in our life. Don't ever lose sight that your setback is possibly your greatest opportunity for your comeback. For your comeback. God is always going to get you where God has designed for you to go and be. So don't lose your confidence in that moment. Don't lose your faith in that moment. Have faith in your setback that it will not hold you back. You see, your setback is only a prison if you allow it to be. It's only a prison if you allow it to be. As we sung this morning, songs of praise will shake your prison walls. Speak to your fears. Preach to your doubts. Speak to your fears. Preach to your doubts. Would you stand to your feet with me? We need to preach to our fears. We need to speak to our doubts. We need some songs of praise. They're going to open prison doors. That's what praise does. Praise opens up things that look like they have us imprisoned. You know, the God I know and the God I serve, what I understand about God is this, is if He proclaims it, then He sustains it. And Joseph's journey teaches us that God proclaimed it while he was very young, because I think God knew, or he did know obviously, that there was a lot that was going to happen throughout Joseph's life that would cause him to lose hope of living. And so he gives him a dream while he's a young man. But God didn't tell him all the things that were going to come and all the things that were going to happen. But none of that was ever going to change the plan of God to get him where he wanted to be. I say that to say this. There are people in this room today, there are people online today, and you're listening today, and you're leaning in today, and you're thinking that your setback and your challenge and your darkness and your difficulty has altered your destiny. But it has not altered your destiny. It is just a pathway that God has allowed to come for you to get to where He always wanted you to be. God is always going to get you. If He's proclaimed it, God is always going to get you to that place of destiny that He has in your life. And there is no weapon that is formed against you that will prosper. There is no weapon, that's what the Bible says, there is no weapon literally that is formed against you that will prosper. There's a lot of weapons that come. There's a lot of things that are thrown at you. There's a lot of things that come to hurt and disarm and disempower us
in life. But God says to us today, and I want to speak it and proclaim it into our hearts today, in the room, online today, there is no weapon formed against you that will prosper. God's with you. God's for you. God's in you. God's on you. It doesn't matter what's around you. He's with you. He's for you. He's in you. He's on you today. He's working in all things on your behalf, on our behalf. When you don't see it, He's working. When you don't feel it, He's working. When you don't know it, God is still doing it. You know our strength? In a bizarre way, our strength comes from our weakness. It comes from our vulnerabilities. Our strength actually comes from our brokenness as we look to God for our healing and our wholeness and for our strength today. God says to us that His power is made perfect in our weakness. His power is made perfect in our weakness. So don't be afraid to show your weakness. Don't be afraid to show your vulnerabilities. Don't be afraid to show God your prison. Don't be afraid of that, because that's where God can pour His presence and His favor and His strength into. God wants to turn your mourning into dancing. He wants to turn your sorrow into joy. Turn your shame into glory. He's the only one that can. He wants to turn your graves into gardens, bones into armies, scenes into highways. He's the only one who can. Come on, He's the only one who can. He turns graves into gardens. Come on, God, come and turn graves into gardens. Come and turn beauty into ashes. Come and turn sorrow into joy today. Come and change the room. Come and change the story. Come and open prison doors. Turn the scars into stars today. Let it go, God. Come in and fill the place. Come in and flood the place. Bring heaven to earth today. Come and change our story. Come and change our story today. That's what we pray. Graze into gardens, God, all over this room. Every heart, every circumstance, every situation, every darkness, every prison today, every problem today, every memory today, every heartache today, every sorrow today, every depression today, every discouragement today. Come on, God, turn it. Turn it now. Turn grace into gardens.